Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Amen. We know God will bless the reading of his word. We'll look to God now in prayer for help. Father in heaven, confess, O God, as we come to the ministry of thy word, fain is the help of man. We need thy help. We need thee, O God, to apply thy word by the Holy Spirit and reveal the things of Christ to us. We pray, O God, that we will know help from heaven just now. Encourage us. We pray, O God, thou wilt restore backsliders. And Father, we pray if there be any outside of Christ, well, may this be the day when they will be wonderfully and gloriously saved. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, in commencing his letter or his epistle to the saints at Philippi, we noted that he gave thanks to God for their fellowship in the gospel. Remember last week we looked at that word fellowship. It means to partake or partnership. It means communion. It means to share the same. And so when it came to the gospel, Paul and the Philippians shared the same mind when it came to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was full agreement when it came to the Savior. In taking the words of Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, they had one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so that was Paul and the Philippians striving together as one in the faith of the gospel, because they were in the fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel centers upon the payment of sin and the pardon of sinners from the grace of God through Jesus Christ alone, applied to the heart of the sinner by the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at that thought last week. Fellowship in the gospel. There is full agreement when it comes to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, today we want to look at the expression of fellowship in the gospel. How is this then expressed or practiced among believers, among God's people in the church of Jesus Christ? Because remember, a letter, an epistle is written to the church, is written to the saints of God. And therefore, how does this apply to our life among one another? Notice, first of all, fellowship in the gospel is expressed by supplicating for one another in the gospel. In taking the meaning of the word fellowship, not only did Paul supplicate or pray for believers at Philippi, but the church at Philippi, they prayed or supplicated for Paul. Again, we will look next week, God willing, verse 4. Paul says, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. A wonderful statement we'll look at next week. And then verses 9 through 11, there is Paul's prayer recorded that he prayed for the church at Philippi. And therefore, Paul praises God for a praying people. He praises God that he can have fellowship with God's people in the gospel by prayer. As he said in verse 19, through your prayers. God was answering prayer for the Philippians as they prayed for Paul, not only as he labored in gospel ministry, but also as he was in jail. They shared in the ministry by prayer. They had the same desire as Paul to see God's work grow, to see Christ preached, the gospel defended, the gospel spread further, and Paul met in his work. They shared the same mind when it came to worshiping and praising God. And therefore, Paul, as he gives thanks to God, he's giving thanks to God for a praying people. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, making request with joy. And so as we think of the term fellowship, and we're thinking how fellowship is used, Paul always had this theme of prayer before him, praying for God's people, and God's people praying for him. He encouraged the believers at Philippi to pray for him as he prayed for them. Again, remember, in writing to the Roman believers, Romans chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul also requested of different churches that they prayed for him, just as he prayed for them. Again, Romans chapter 15, verse 30 to 31, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have in Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said to God's people there, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And so as Paul wrote letters to different churches and even to the church at Philippi, he emphasized prayer. It was their prayers for Paul that helped Paul in his labors. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And so the whole point I'm making is this. Fellowship in the gospel is a partnership. It's communion. It's companionship. It's having the same mind when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the work of Christ. And therefore, Paul is saying, I'm glad in gospel ministry I have a praying people, a people who pray for me, and I pray for a people, because God's work will always go forth in the spirit and in the power of prayer. That's why we made that point last night to the young people as we met together. We spoke about Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer. And we said God uses young people in prayer. Young people here today, God uses you in prayer. We said in the 1859 revival that spread through United Kingdom, God used young people as they gathered for prayer. There's a book written. It's called Children of 1859. And it highlights how children gathered together for prayer, young people gathering together for prayer, and God moved among them. And so Paul is saying to God's people at Philippi, in the fellowship of the gospel, we pray together because we want to see God's work advance. And therefore, believer, we have the great ministry to be a praying people, to see God's work advanced in this place. Oh, pray, God make you a man of prayer. God make you to be a woman of prayer, that as you pray for God's work in this part of his vineyard, God will make your prayers to be mighty in a day of darkness, that God will make your prayers prevail. Because why? Our prayers are in the fellowship of the gospel. Our prayers are on full agreement when it comes to the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's why when we pray for London, may God give us London, as John Knox said of Scotland. Remember John Knox, that Scottish reformer? He said this here, reformer to Scotland said, give me Scotland, or I die. And it was said, Queen Mary of Scots, she said this, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. Such was John Knox, a man of prayer. And therefore, as we pray for London, as we pray for God's work in this place, I'm glad there is a praying people. I'm glad there's a people here who seek God for this part of his vineyard. Therefore, as our fellowship is in the gospel, is expressed by supplication, by praying on the grounds of the gospel, that God's work will advance, that he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because that's the agreement when it comes to prayer. You want to know how to pray, what you should pray. Here is God's word, and he tells us what to pray. It's in the word of God. And therefore, fellowship in the gospel is expressed by supplicating for one another. Pray for one another. The Philippians prayed for Paul, and Paul prayed for the Philippians, and everywhere Paul went. So pray for one another. Pray for your minister. The minister prays for you. And we pray that God will bless us. Notice secondly, fellowship in the gospel is expressed by supporting one another. The word fellowship, as we said, also translates as contribution. It was used by Paul when he wrote to the believers at Rome. And this is also highlighted in Philippians. On that occasion, in Romans chapter 15, verse 26, Paul said of God's people at Macedonia, which also included the area of Philippi, they helped believers who were called poor saints, which were at Jerusalem. And so what they did, they would have sent gifts to help other believers. And therefore, the church at Philippi, they were a giving church. They were a generous church. They were a supporting church. They were a church who cheerfully gave on to the Lord and to the Lord's cause. And by giving on to God's work, they were supporting God's cause, God's servants, by giving to those who were poor and needy. They give on to the Lord. Always remember that. When you give to God's work, whatever area it may be in, it's giving to the Lord himself. Always remember that. Paul himself knew this to be true. Because remember, Paul, in his time of need, the Philippians supported him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. And that last phrase, that's Paul writing, taking tabernacle language from the Old Testament, that sweet-smelling savor, as the offering was offered unto God, that animal as sacrificed, it was a sweet-smelling savor. Not that the burning of animals pleased the Lord, the smell of it, but at what it symbolized. It was accepted to God. It was pleasing to God. It was a savor of rest because it was offered fully unto God. And so what Paul is saying, you're giving to me, you're helping to me, is like that sweet-smelling savor. It's pleasing to God because when you give to God's cause, you're giving to the Lord himself. And therefore, that word communicated is the same word as fellowship, partnership. And so while others forgot about Paul, yet there was one church, the church at Philippi, they held up Paul. They could not travel around with Paul. Paul was a missionary journey. He traveled from place to place. And obviously the Philippians could not go from place to place. But as Paul traveled, in a sense, they traveled with him because their giving gave him help. Even as he was in prison, their giving supported him. Their giving helped him. And because they gave to the Lord, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Paul said, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, not out of, but according to. As we said before many occasions, if you give something to someone out of something, soon or not long will pass that that will begin to come empty, be less and less. So if I had a box of sweets and I started to give you out of that box of sweets, at some point that box of sweets is going to come less and less and less to the point there's nothing else in it to give out. But God doesn't give out of. God gives according to his riches. He gives according to himself. He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. He gives, and he gives again. Child of God, you can never outgive God. He gives. He supplies our need by Christ. Every blessing we receive, it's by Christ. And therefore, I understand today there is this need. The electric's going up. The gas price is going up. Petrol and diesel has gone up. Remember myself and Peter as we were on the bus on the way home the other night, went past Sainsbury's there, the bus, and Peter, I think he said, he's petrol. I said, well, I'm diesel. And some woman overheard, she said, well, I guess you'll be walking then. You know, so people I can see are stressed out and panicking about this. But here's the point. God supplies the need. Don't start withholding, but keep giving. I know you say, preacher, that's easier said than it's done. I don't know how it works, but what I do know is this, from practice and from past times, God never sees his people stuck. When you give, he gives and he gives and he gives. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. George Mueller said, there is no want of them that fear him. That was his text. God kept giving and giving and giving. And so Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, through you, you kept giving and giving and giving. And because of that, God will supply. He will meet the need. You withhold from God, God will withhold from you. You get tight with God, God will get tight with you. Because he gives for us to give again. And then he gives again for us to give again. And then he gives. God supplies. And therefore I say this to this point, because I know there are different projects and things. Ukraine, special offerings, youth work, and missionary projects, and even families in need that we seek to help. And we give and we give and we give. And we say, but what about ourselves? But you give to these causes, God will take care of you. It's a fellowship in the gospel. It's to partake in the gospel. It is a communion in the gospel. You may never get to go to Ukraine. And you've seen maybe the videos of different people who have their own lorries or companies, God's people. They're going through Ukraine and doing different things and would love to go, but we're not able maybe to go. We're not able to go to Australia and all these things. Or maybe go around the doors. But as you give to God's work, you're equally there. When I go around the doors, yesterday when the youth went around the doors, in a sense, spiritually, you went round the doors with them. Why? Because your giving supplied those tracks to go round the doors. Your prayers held them up to give strength and grace to go to the door. Or when someone comes out to say clear off, then they have strength to not be discouraged, whatever it may be. And so the point is, there is fellowship in the gospel expressed by our supplication, by praying, but also by our supporting, giving to God's work. And therefore, each have a role. We're just going through this, how this applies to the church. Notice also, thirdly, fellowship in the gospel is expressed by sharing with one another in the gospel. Again, fellowship in the gospel, we share one another's burdens. Remember, Paul and the Philippians, they had this love with one another. There was this connection with one another. As he suffered, or as he was afflicted in jail, they felt the load of that as well. And so they wanted to help with him. Paul even writes in verse 3, "In so much as in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers." That's the same word, fellowship, communion, sharing. "You're all partakers of my grace." And therefore, there is that sharing with one another in the Lord's work. When one goes through a burden, we help and we pray and we support one another. We do what we can for one another. That's why Paul said to the churches at Galatia, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the love of Christ," or the law of Christ. The believers at Galatia, they were burdened down. They had many kinds of burdens. And maybe there's people here, you have your own particular burden, whatever that burden may be. And so Paul says to God's people, when it comes to the fellowship in the gospel, when it comes to living out the gospel, when it comes to our practice of the fellowship in the gospel among one another, we are to bear one another's burdens. And the word "bear" that Paul uses, it means to shoulder or to join shoulders. It means to sustain. It means to share. It means to help carry the load. The word is used throughout the New Testament. In Mark chapter 14, verse 13, it refers to bearing a pitcher of water, so to carry a pitcher of water. Also in Luke 7, verse 14, refers to carrying a coffin. And so the sense, you take that last sense, to carry a coffin. None can carry a coffin by themselves. None would be able to sustain a coffin by themselves. It would be too heavy. And therefore, when a coffin is carried by someone at a funeral, it is carried by a group of people, maybe six, maybe eight. And how do they carry that coffin? They lock their arms together. They shoulder one another. And that coffin rests upon their shoulder. And they help carry the load. They help carry the weight, supporting one another as they walk down that aisle. And therefore, that's what God's people are to do with one another. Support one another. Help carry the load with one another. Whatever that load may be, whatever that burden may be, to pray for one another, to help one another, to let each other know, brother, sister, you're not alone in this situation. We're here to help. We're here to support. We're here to pray. We're here to do whatever we can because we're family. We're God's people. We're one in Christ. And therefore, supporting, sharing one another. Maybe a text. Maybe an email. Maybe a phone call to say, I'm praying for you. Hope you have a good day. We're thinking of you this week. Whatever that may be. Because remember, whenever the church at Philippi, they shared with Paul and they helped carry Paul's weight, Paul's burden, they weren't present. They prayed for Paul, but then they sent Epaphroditus after. to give help. And so they demonstrated love for Paul because they love Christ. And because they love Christ, they loved Paul. Peter taught God's people in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And therefore, the Lord is concerned about you today. Whatever your burden, family burden, financial burden, individual burden, whatever that may be, family burden, cast it upon the Lord, because he is concerned about you. That word careth means to focus upon. It means to have full attention. And therefore, whenever you bring your burden to the Lord, you have his full attention. And therefore, bring that burden to him. Fourthly, fellowship in the gospel is expressed by suffering with one another in the gospel. When it came to fellowship in the gospel, Paul suffered for the sake of Christ. And as Paul suffered, so did the Philippians suffer for the sake of Christ. Paul said in verse 12, "The things that have happened unto me, they have happened for the furtherance of the gospel." All that has happened to me, it's God has used it for the furtherance of the gospel. Again, Paul and the Philippians, they shared the same mindset when it came to the gospel. They were not ashamed to identify with the apostle Paul. They were pleased to be used for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said in verse 29 to 30, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ," or on behalf of Christ, "not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now bear to me, and now here to be in me." And so Paul is saying that as I labored for the gospel, and you're now saved, and you labor for the gospel, as we suffer for the gospel, we suffer together. That's the fellowship in the gospel. When you suffer, I suffer. When I suffer, you suffer. But we suffer for the sake of Christ. We suffer for his sake. The phrase "to suffer for his sake" means to suffer on account of, or because of. And what that means, the moment the Philippians became Christians, that moment when Paul preached, remember, we learned the background, that moment whenever they came to Christ and they were redeemed by precious blood, saved by the grace of God, they were hated for Christ's sake. They were hated because of Christ. They were hated on account of their union in Christ. The moment they began to live for Christ, the moment they began to testify of Christ, they were despised. Why? Because it costs to live for Christ. The Lord said in Matthew 5, verse 10 and 11, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." It's the same word, on account of righteousness, or because of righteousness. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then verse 12, he said that they suffer for my sake. Again, they suffer on account of me, and joined in union with me. And therefore, we cannot escape persecution. The believers at Philippi could not escape persecution, nor could Paul. But as they suffered as one, because they were striving together for the gospel. Therefore, believer, we learn that even though we are persecuted daily, Yet none of this can ever affect our eternal position, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered more than any man. He is victorious. He earned eternal blessings for his people. These blessings can never be removed. They can never be reversed. Therefore, he is that man of sorrows, and we live our Christian life looking to him. And so Paul, throughout this letter, I suffer for his sake. You suffer for his sake. But as we think how he suffered, we're glad we suffer for his sake, because we are the people of God. And there are eternal blessings. That's why Susanna Spurgeon, the wife of Charles Spurgeon, I don't know how long this went on for, but I read that during his ministry, as Charles Spurgeon was often criticized in his preaching by those who attended, he became deeply depressed. And so what his wife did, above their bed, she got a copy of the Beatitudes written right across the bed. And so the last thing Spurgeon saw at night were the Beatitudes and the promises. And then the first thing he woke up in the morning when he looked up, were the Beatitudes. God promising to bless his people. God promising that even through a life of suffering, a life of trials and burdens, there is an eternal rest for the people of God. Notice finally, fellowship in the gospel is expressed by serving one another. Again, throughout this letter, and again, what we're doing today, this is just one of these topical messages. This is just tracing this word fellowship and just seeing how it's used among the churches. Fellowship, partnership, the same mind, striving together. Paul said, chapter 4, verse 1, to God's people at Philippi, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Then again, he said in verse 3, verse that we have looked at before, true yoke fellow. Then he went on to say, women which labored for me in the gospel, Clement also, and with me, other my fellow laborers. And so here, fellowship in the gospel is serving one another, seeking to help one another, supporting one another. When you come to prayer meetings, when you come to youth fellowships, when you come to church services, you support one another. That's why Paul wrote in Hebrews, encouraging God's people, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because the Jewish people, those who had just become Christians, they began to be mocked by Jewish unbelievers. And they began to start to miss, if you want to say, the services on the Lord's Day because of this persecution. And Paul said to them, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And he went on to teach them, because when you do come together, it encourages one another. It builds up one another. It edifies one another. It helps one another. Serving one another. And therefore, Paul and the Philippians, in the fellowship of the gospel, they were one. They prayed for one another. They labored with one another. They served with one another. They cared for one another. This was the fellowship in the gospel expressed. Why? Because when Paul was teaching the Philippians, because remember, they didn't know any of this. They had just come to Christ. Paul was showing them, we do all this because Jesus Christ did all this for us. He prayed for us. He labored for us. He served for us. He suffered for us. He shared our burdens. When he lived a perfect life, when he was blasphemed, when he was mocked, everything he did was for us. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. Upon the cross of Calvary, he shed his precious blood. He died an atoning death. All the wrath of God that we deserve for our sin, he bore it all, that we would have a way back to God. And now in heaven, Jesus Christ still serves his people. He still prays for his people. He ministers to his people because he's praying for them as our great high priest. Do you know that? The Savior is praying for you every single day, all through the day. Let me just say it like this. There's never a time when the Lord is not praying for you. His very presence in heaven is an act of intercession. Therefore, everything Paul was teaching the Philippians, what we do for one another, we do so because we learn from Jesus Christ. He did it all for us. And therefore, what we do it for his honor and for his glory. We don't hold anything back from God, because God never held his son back from us. He did not spare him, but he delivered him up for us all. Therefore, are you saved today? Are you redeemed today by precious blood? Have you ever had your sin forgiven? Have you ever come to Christ and said, Lord, save me? If not, come today, for there's mercy with the Lord. He will save you. Child of God, seek to pray for one another. Don't be people who just come and go and see each other on a Sunday or once a year, whatever that may be. We're family. We're united. Pray for one another. Support one another. Say hello to one another. Be that family spirit, because we are one in Jesus Christ. We fellowship in the gospel. We partner in the gospel. We have the same mind when it comes to the gospel. For his name's sake, amen.